Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The text for our consideration this morning comes from the first psalm, beginning with verse 1, as follows. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is the word of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, elsewhere in Scripture referred to as the Lord our righteousness, dear fellow redeemed. One of America's favorite Christmas movies, indeed one of America's favorite movies of all time, is the movie starring Jimmy Stewart, Francis Ford Coppola's It's a Wonderful Life. In it, the main character, George Bailey, is driven to the brink of despair by the impending failure of the savings and loan that he manages. To George, the end of his business signals the end of his life. He doesn't figure that it's worth going on. Then, through a series of supernatural events, George is allowed to see a special vision. He's allowed to see what truly makes for happiness, what things are really important in life. He learns that happiness doesn't come from money, and it doesn't come from financial prosperity, doesn't come from social standing. In the end, George comes back to his family with the realization that true happiness has very little to do with material things at all. Our text for today is about that same subject, happiness. In fact, the very first word in our text, the Hebrew word asharei, means blessed or happy. Who is happy? Who is truly blessed in this life and beyond? Today's text answers it all. Perhaps you've lost your sense of wonder and delight in God's word. Maybe your happiness seems to have been eluding you recently. Perhaps in your spiritual life, you're merely surviving rather than thriving. If that's the case, then this psalm, Psalm 1, is the text for you. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to revitalize our faith this morning as we consider the theme, happy are the righteous. They avoid the ways of the ungodly, they delight in the word of the Lord, and they thrive where God plants them. Does it bother you when people skip to the back of the book and read the ending at the very start when they get a new book? It bothers me. But that's what we have to do this morning if we're going to understand this text, because the key to the entire psalm lies in verse 6, right at the end. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." If there's one main point to this first psalm, it's to demonstrate who the happy people are. Happy are the righteous people. Which is all well and good, you may say, but who is that? Who are the righteous people? Maybe you're like me and you tend to mentally disqualify yourself every time you hear something like that. Well, that happiness may be for other people, you say, but not for me. I certainly don't rank as a righteous person. But my friends, the wonderful news of the gospel is that that's not true. You are the righteous. No, not on the basis of your own record and your good works that you have done. The Bible clearly says that all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. No, you belong to the group of the righteous, not on the basis of your deeds, but on the basis of the work of Christ. You see, your faith connects you to Jesus Christ. And that means that the blood he spilled on Golgotha's hill covers all of your sins. That means that God looks at your faith and he sees no more sin. He sees no more flaws and failures, mistakes. All God can see when he looks at you, because of your faith, is the pure white righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Savior. If Jesus is your Savior, then the Bible says God has forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. By faith, Jesus' record, that record of perfect obedience to all of God's commandments, that record belongs to you. So I'd ask you to bear that happy truth in mind. When the Bible talks about the righteous, it's not talking about someone else, it's referring to you. When Scripture mentions the saints, the elect of God, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, you're the one they have in mind. By virtue of your faith in Jesus, all those names apply to you. By faith, you are the righteous. And as this text eminently proves, happy are the righteous. Verse 6 says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And what is the way of the righteous? It's that narrow path that leads to heaven. The other day we were discussing the fact that most people in our society today think that the path to heaven is broad, that almost everybody will get into heaven. Everybody who tries to be nice, everybody except the mean people, will get to heaven. Is that what Scripture says? That most of the people are going to heaven? The Bible, unfortunately, says that very few people will make it to heaven. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." There are very few who find that way to salvation. My fellow Christians, you are among that happy few. Jesus directs you along the path, and in fact, Jesus himself is that path. As he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Happy are the righteous. And what is it that makes the righteous happy? Well, for one thing, they avoid the way of the ungodly, or at least they ought to. Our text says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Well, you might object, we're all sinners. So what's the difference? Well, the difference lies in repentance. This passage is talking about unrepentant sinners, people for whom godlessness is a way of life, people who unrepentantly break God's commandments week in and week out, year after year, feeling no need for repentance and having no intention of repenting. The Christian can only be happy by avoiding the way of the ungodly, the unrepentant sinners. You might have noticed that there's a progression in this passage: walking, standing, sitting. And that's how sin so often starts, isn't it? Not as a point, not all of a sudden, but as a kind of progression, and the devil leads you into it. You think, well, it won't hurt so much if I go along with the ungodly for a short time. I'll just walk along with them for a while and listen to their ideas. I can leave whenever I want to. Pretty soon, though, they reach their destination and they stop. And you stop, too. You linger for a moment in the pathways of the wicked, at the tavern, at the inappropriate movie, at the raunchy website. You linger in places where your conscience tells you a Christian has no right to be. And you think nothing bad will happen, that you can escape in time, that there won't be any consequences. But as my old college professor used to say, you can't crawl through a sewer without getting filthy. Many former believers have ended up by sitting down and joining the ungodly. Perhaps never intending to do so, they've turned away from the Lord and the company of the righteous and have joined the company of those who have nothing but scorn for God and nothing but scorn for God's word. My friends, this is a road best not traveled at all. Don't even start down that path. The Bible says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. British writer Mary Wollstonecraft once wrote, no man chooses evil because it is evil. He only mistakes it for happiness. And isn't sin that way? It seems so attractive and so pleasant at first, like it's the one thing that will bring you happiness. And yet in the end, it always ends up being so bitter and destructive. In contrast to this, the psalmist reveals where real happiness lies. Happy are the righteous, he says. How much happier you'll be and how much heartache you can avoid simply by never starting down the path of the ungodly at all. For they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You might remember that it was John the Baptist who gave us a very chilling description of what will happen to the ungodly chaff on the last day. I indeed baptize you with water, he said, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Happy are the righteous, not least because you are the ones who are going to escape that unquenchable fire of God's wrath on the last day. But there's another reason for your happiness. It's because you're the ones who delight in the law of the Lord. The text speaks of the believer and says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. By the way, the word law in this context does not mean law in its narrow sense, like the Ten Commandments, the law that condemns our sin. Nobody delights in that kind of law. But here and elsewhere in Scripture, the word law can also be used in a broad sense to mean the entire Word of God, law and gospel. And in the Word of God, you too, the righteous, can take great delight. You ever get a favorite song running through your head? Kind of sticks with you all day long. It's catchy. You can't forget it. That's the flavor of the Hebrew word for meditate in our text. The righteous delight so much in God's word that they meditate on it day and night. They can't get it out of their head. To every situation the believer encounters, he seems to think of Bible passages that apply. And I know all of you do this. Something that you're going through, and all of a sudden the Lord brings to your mind a passage of comfort or encouragement that applies to that particular situation. Believer finds himself mulling over a particular passage that has meaning in his life at that moment. If you don't do that as often as you like, why not give this a try? Daily devotions in God's Word. Just read a short passage from Scripture first thing in the morning. I use one of those 365-day Bibles that gives you a portion of the Old and New Testament for every day of the year. In any case, read your devotion and pick out a passage that speaks to you, that seems to have something to do with what you're going through in your life right now. And then carry that with you and meditate on that word of God throughout the day. Try to come back to it frequently, turning it over in your mind and taking comfort and drawing strength from what God is speaking to you through that passage. If you're bothered, for instance, by a particular sin in your past, you might take with you Isaiah 1, verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Or 1 John 1:17, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you've got a big challenge facing you in your life and you're feeling kind of helpless and alone, you could take Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might be surprised how effective this can be in your life, what a big difference it can make. You might be surprised at how much happiness and delight you can gain from this one simple thing. Happy are the righteous. And you might very well be surprised at how far-reaching are the benefits when you meditate on the word of the Lord. Though none of us should be surprised, of course, since that's just what God promises when he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." Then you will have good success. And that brings us to the third picture in our text for today. A very happy and blessed picture, an encouraging one, makes the same point. It's the picture of a thriving tree. Happy are the righteous, says the psalmist, because they thrive where the Lord plants them. A lot of examples come to mind. I was thinking about this big maple tree over east of the parking lot, our church grounds. 8 years ago when we built our church, I was worried about that tree because when we excavated our stormwater runoff pond, we had to dig right around the base of that tree, and I thought it might die. I needn't have worried, as it turns out, because, of course, whenever we get even a little bit of rain, where does the water go? Straight for the pond and straight for the roots of that tree. It's no wonder the tree is thriving, taller and greener than it ever was before. That's the way you are, the psalmist says. That describes your life as a believer. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a happy lot is yours to be counted among the righteous, the believers in Jesus Christ, to have a Savior who died for your sins and rose again for your justification. What a happy lot is yours to have this promise that your life will be like a thriving tree, a tree that never lacks nourishing water, a tree that always brings forth abundant fruits, whose leaves are always shining and lush. The promise, in short, that everything you do will prosper. And of course, now I'm not talking about material prosperity, the kind of monetary wealth that's here today and gone whenever the stock market decides to take another nosedive. Now, I'm talking about the real riches, sins forgiven, a quiet conscience, membership in the household of the saints to be a subject of the kingdom of Christ, the guarantee of perfect security in this life under the protecting hand of your heavenly Father, and the guarantee of taking part in that wonderful life that will one day be yours in heaven. Oh, happy, happy are the righteous. In another psalm we read, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." When it comes to happiness, the world probably has as many definitions for it as there are people to offer them. Psychiatrist Thomas Sasse once had an interesting definition. He said, "Happiness is an imaginary condition. The living think the dead have it. Children think adults have it. And adults think children have it." But we Christians have a secret. We know that happiness is not imaginary. And for our purposes, there is only one definition that counts, the definition given us in Holy Scripture. Happy are the righteous. They avoid the way of the ungodly. They delight in the word of the Lord. They thrive where the Lord plants them. my prayer for you, you saints of God, you members of the congregation of the righteous, my prayer for you is that you may have a life filled with happiness. Not the shallow, temporary happiness of the material world, but the full, rich happiness that begins in this world and stretches to the eternal world beyond. May God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise.